Amen. Thank God for our brothers. Give them another hand. He reigns forever. We're happy to see Brother Samuel Austin and Samuel Austin worshiping with us today. Amen. Good to see you. Good to see both of you. I want to thank again Dr. Adrian Aldaco, Sister Tamara West, and Brother Isaac Moshe, and Reverend Torrance Spears for all their hard work and the powerful presentation on yesterday. We had a wonderful time with Born to Die. Let me also remind you that we are having in-person prayer meeting this Wednesday. We will not meet via Zoom. We'll meet in person at 7 o'clock. There is a Save the Cemeteries presentation that's going to be shared with us on Wednesday at 7 o'clock. So be here in the sanctuary in person for that. And then following worship today, our deacons and trustees put together fruit bags to pass out. And we want to thank Deacon Terry Steele and the whole team and the crew that work with him. Give him a hand for preparing those fruit bags. So please get those before you leave. I want to read from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 through verse 13 from the New International Version. And I usually say, and the text reads, and when I say text, I mean the passage of Scripture. And the text reads, "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of our God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells." The word of our God. Thank you, ushers. Keep looking up. One of the biggest meteor showers of the year took place last week. In the Chicago area, the meteors were predicted to peak in the early morning hours of Wednesday, December 13th, and Thursday, December 14th. The meteors radiate from the constellation Gemini, which is in the western sky after midnight. The Geminid meteor shower differs from many others in that it's produced by an asteroid rather than a comet. Due to the new moon on December 12th, the moon was not out during the peak of the shower, and more meteors were visible. As many as 100 to 120 meteors were predicted per hour last week. I know that's interesting to you. The Adler Planetarium in Chicago gave tips on how to get the best view for the upcoming meteor showers. And some of those tips included get away from the city lights. Give your eyes about 30 minutes to adjust to the darkness. Use your peripheral vision to locate objects in the sky. Find a spot far from the light and face east. And the news report said, look up. No, it's not Santa. It's the Geminids meteor shower, one of the largest meteor showers of the year. And when I saw this story and about these meteors and how many there would be, and the information about how to view them by looking up in the sky and getting a good place, I was reminded of our expectations during the Advent season. During Advent, Christians around the world highlight the coming of Christ. We revisit the story of the first coming of Christ. We read the scriptures that speak to the coming of a special child to bring salvation to the world. And the team did an excellent job yesterday revisiting that story and telling us about the first coming of Christ. We read about the visit of the Magi, who, driven by a star in the east, searched until they had found the Christ. The Magi were looking up, and that's the Christmas story. But Advent also reminds the church of the second coming of Christ. And we call that the parousia. The second coming of Christ will usher in the end of the age when God's plan of salvation will be brought to full completion. The church knows that this age and this world will end. So don't put a lot of attachments on this age and this world, because Christ will come to usher in the new age and bring the new world. Amen. The Christian church awaits the coming of Christ, so we too look up to the skies to experience Christ's coming. And that's what this text in 2 Peter is all about. Let me give you the backstory. The followers of Jesus witnessed his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And after his resurrection, they watched Christ ascend back into heaven to be seated at the right hand of God. If you recall, in the book of Acts, Jesus' followers are looking up at the sky after his ascension. And those followers expected Christ to return right away. They expected the second coming of Christ to occur while they were alive. But when we get to our text in 2 Peter, centuries have passed and Christ has not returned. All the apostles and all the leaders have died off, and the Christians still cling to the hope of Christ's return. So 3 centuries have gone by. Christ has not come back. And Peter tells us that there were scoffers who claimed that the parousia, or second coming of Christ, was a hoax. They questioned the legitimacy of faith in a second coming. And just like in the days of Noah, who predicted the flood, scoffers went around to refute Noah's claims. In other words, these scoffers were labeling the message of the second coming fake news. And here we are, more than 2 millennia since the ascension of Christ, and we're still claiming the message of Christ's return. So the writer of 2 Peter encourages the church to keep looking up. And just like those awaiting the meteor showers, Christians are to keep looking up and keep waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. I tell you, if we don't have that hope or expectation, what good is our faith? If we don't believe that he's returning, what is driving us to live for Jesus Christ? And what the writer tells the church in 2 Peter, I think, is helpful for us during this season of Advent. One thing he teaches them is God's timing is not human timing. Because he says, do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. And in that, the writer is referencing Psalm number 90, verse 4. He reminds the believers that they cannot measure God's work by human standards. Because as human beings, we exist in time. But God transcends time. Now, we might have 24 hours in a day and 7 days in a week and 30 to 31 days in a month. But that's human time. That's temporal. God does not exist in human time. Humans are limited by human measures of time, but God is not circumscribed by those measures. Human time is shorter than divine time. I tell you, it's just 1,000 years, just one day in divine time. And when it looks like time has run out, God is still working. That's why you cannot measure things by human time. You say, I've been praying for 3 months for God to answer that prayer, and God hasn't answered yet. You cannot measure it by 3 months. God is still working. And so when God says Christ is coming back, it is God who sets the schedule. And that's why the Bible says in Isaiah 55, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. In Noah's day, the folks berated Noah for building the ark and speaking about the flood. They said, oh, you're crazy building this ark. The flood is going to come. But that didn't interfere with God's plans. So we cannot get sidetracked because the forecasters have made their predictions and tell us that God is not coming back. We cannot get sidetracked because the song says God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. Plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. The folks at the Adler Planetarium in Chicago gave a time frame for the meteor showers. They told the people that the best time was between midnight and 6 a.m. on the 13th and 14th. And then they said it may be possible to see some of the Geminids before midnight. But those folk were just giving approximations. With the best technology available, they tried to put God's work on a time schedule. But you cannot put God on a time schedule. God moves when God chooses to move. The stars in the heavens are not bound by human technology. A Doppler radar does not control what's happening in the heavens. The heavens follow the directives of the Creator. God's timing is not human timing. And let me just drop this off. Whenever God comes, God is right on time. And whenever God shows up in your life and does something in your life, that's the right time for it to happen. God's timing is not human timing. And then the writer says something further. He says, I want you to know that God is enacting a purposeful delay. He says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God's purposeful delay. The writer argues that God has intentionally delayed the Lord's return so that it's a redemptive delay. You see, God is not slow because of what, with what he's promised. God is patient. God wants everyone to have an opportunity to come to faith and repentance. God extends grace so that those who do not know Christ can come to faith. In other words, God is not returned because God is still waiting for the world to get itself together. This isn't on my paper, but you know, week after week, we extend the invitation to Christ. And we have a few moments where we stand and sing and invite people to come to faith. But then after a while, we say, nobody's coming. That's enough. And we close the invitation. That's what we do, but that's not what God does. God's invitation is a continuous invitation. So the writer says it's a purposeful delay. There's a salvific purpose behind the second coming of Christ. The fact that we are here today is testament to divine grace, because God could have returned before we got here. And I'm so glad that Christ did not come back before somebody told me about the grace of Jesus Christ. It's a purposeful delay. This is instructive for the church, because if God has delayed the coming of Christ to allow more persons to repent, that means that the church must be seriously engaged in getting the message out and leading folk to faith in Jesus Christ. That means it's our business to tell the story and to tell people that Jesus saves from sin, because he has delayed his timing for folk to come back. You know, it's in on my baby, but I liked what Reverend Spears and his wife did when they presented the artist and presented this painting. They asked him some questions. But the question that I liked that they asked him was, what impact does this have on you and your faith? So if that person were not a Christian, if that person had not confessed Christ, they put it front and center right there. And I said, wow, that's a keen thing to do. And that's what we've got to do in our connections with each other and in our relationships with our neighbors, our friends, our relatives, our associates. We've got to put the question right there, because Jesus has not returned, because it's a purposeful delay. When my siblings and I were old enough to be left at home, my parents would leave us in the care of an older sibling, either my older brother, Keith, he's deceased now, or my older sister, Debbie. And they would leave to go to the store. And before they would leave, they would say to all of us, now mind your brother, or mind your sister. And we say, okay, yeah. As soon as they left, we launched into whatever we wanted to get into. And my older brother, he was tall and strong. He was an athlete. He would try to whip us in line, and sometimes he would spank us. And of course, we didn't like that. And we would be grumbling. And this is in my paper. I've probably said it before. And I'd be grumbling at him. And he said, what do you say? Who are you talking to? And I said, nobody. And then he said, I ain't nobody. But we would give them the flux. And because we knew that our parents were coming back, and we messed up the house. There were things all over. And we knew we'd have time to clean up. But I remember that my mother would often call us on the telephone and tell my older sibling that they were on their way home. And I thought that she would just call in, because they cared and just didn't want us to worry about them come back. Of course, we weren't worried that they didn't come back. But when I look back, I realized that my mother wanted to give us a chance to get things in order before she got home and had to tear fire to our behinds. So we'd scurry around and clean things up And that's the same thing that God is doing. When God delays the coming of Christ, it's because he's waiting for us to get ourselves together. He's waiting for some sinner to cry, Lord, I want to be saved, and to give their life to Jesus Christ. And so God's timing is not human timing. And it's a purposeful delay. God is trying to extend grace as long as God can. And then the writer tells the people what they ought to do in the meantime is engage in watchful waiting. Listen to this section of the text. He says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. And since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? He says you ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. This is the only place in the scriptures, in New Testament, where the Bible talks about destroying the world by fire. But I like that last verse, that 13th verse. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. That last verse calls upon the church to keep looking up. And it teaches one of the themes of the Advent season. That's the theme of hope. The writer also explains some important things about the return of Christ. One thing is we cannot predict the day of the Lord. So anybody running around saying he's coming on this day or that day is not telling the truth. The return of Christ will be like a thief in the night. It will be quick. It will be quiet and it will be secret. And no one knows when Christ will return. Another thing is when Christ comes back, there will be chaotic and catastrophic impacts. The text speaks of the destruction of the earth by fire. The earth will be destroyed. The heavens will pass away. And just as God kept his word through Noah, God will keep his word today. Cosmic dissolution will occur. In other words, the return of Christ will be unmistakable. So you won't have to worry about recognizing that something has happened. It will be unmistakable because it will impact all of the created order, and we don't know when that will happen. And the writer says, since you know this is coming, how should you be living? How should you be living? He says you ought to live holy and you ought to live godly lives. So in other words, focus on your walk with God while you're waiting for Jesus' return. Don't get sidetracked and get caught up in some other kind of stuff that goes against your faith. Work on your walk with God while you are waiting. And the people are told to engage in watchful waiting. They are to look to the heavens for the new heaven and the new earth that Christ will bring. I like that. Watchful waiting signals hope and righteousness. Christ will usher in a new heaven and a new earth. He says where righteousness dwells. And it literally means where righteousness will be at home. Where righteousness will be comfortable. A new heaven where righteousness will be comfortable. So God wants us to be ready to live in that place where righteousness is eternally welcome. And so, beloved, we should not get discouraged no matter what happens. Keep looking up and be ready. Don't worry about the storms. Don't worry about the trouble. Keep looking up and be ready. When I see all the destruction in Gaza, the buildings. And as I talk about the Palestinians in Gaza, I'm not suggesting that I'm unconcerned about Israel and how Israel was wronged by these militants. I share that concern as well. But when I see the destruction in Gaza, the buildings, the streets, and the communities that have been blown apart, it seems that that place will never again be habitable. The Israelis have even said that they don't want to occupy Gaza, but they want to keep the destruction going. Now, what kind of mess is that? Just want to keep, we want to beat you down and beat you and beat you and beat you and beat you to a pulp. Help me, Lord. Help us. And that destruction that's taking place in the Middle East is a metaphor for the many things in life that are being destroyed and torn apart today. Morals, values, good sense are being thrown out the window. Folk are doing stuff that if our grandparents were alive, it would blow them away to see what people are doing today. In Chicago and in other cities, folks are driving cars into buildings, right into the storefront of the building, and breaking the wall and running in there and robbing. They got two or three other cars. They're doing it around the country. That's crazy. What kind of young person would think of getting in a car and driving it into a building just to steal some merchandise? A young woman in Houston just the other week was headed to work at the Galleria, and she was robbed and stabbed to death. A police officer in Pennsylvania was arrested for molesting young boys. Leaders of government are on trial for corruption. A woman in Texas seeking relief from a pregnancy that will not be viable has become a political pawn in this state. Folks don't care about others. And I can see why God says, I'm going to destroy the earth as it is. Because if he leaves it in the condition that it's in, righteousness will not have a home. And that's why God said, I create a new heaven and a new earth, which will be home for the followers of Jesus Christ. I'm almost done. This text is not a sad text. It's a text of hope. The four ingredients of Advent, holiness, godliness, peace, and righteousness, are revealed in the text. And the text encourages us to keep looking up. Do not worry about timing. Do not try to track God's itinerary. Keep looking up. God moves in God's own time. Trust that God is redemptively patient, that God has given us another chance. Every day you wake up, that's another chance. Every time you see the sunshine, that's another opportunity to get right with God. That's why the old folks say, don't let him catch you with your work undone. Don't let it be said too late. Get ready. And all we need to do is keep looking up. Hold on to faith. Hold on to hope. This world is not our home, because we're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. We're looking to go to another place. And, and I know we're looking for the second coming of Christ, but I want to tell you to keep looking up in every situation in your life. Because if you can look up, you can get up. And if you can get up, you can change your situation. And it doesn't matter what burdens life puts on you, keep looking up and trusting in God. That's what Joe Helen Bell is doing. Some of us are not as old as she, and we don't want a surgery. We need surgery. Our bones are grinding together. We're too scared to get the surgery. She's 102 years old, and she's still looking up and trusting in God. Hold on. And so they end with that advice to be able to see the meteors at night. And they said, get away from the city lights. In other words, get away from all the stuff that attracts your attention and draws you away from God. And then they say, give your eyes 30 minutes to adjust to the darkness. And I like that because know that as long as we live in this world, we will be surrounded by darkness. Something's going to happen bad today. Something's going to happen bad tomorrow. Darkness is all around us. But don't let the darkness derail your faith. And then they say, find a spot far away from the light and face east. And when I heard that, I said, thank you, Jesus. Because that's what Christians are doing. When we bury somebody in the cemetery, we put their head facing the eastern skies. Face east and know that God is coming back again. Songwriter said, sooner we'll be done with the troubles of the world. Troubles of the world. Troubles of the world. Sooner we'll be done with the troubles of the world. Going home to live with God. No more weeping and a wailing. No more weeping and a wailing. No more weeping and a wailing. Going home to live with God. Hallelujah. Keep looking up, church. Keep looking up, believer. Keep trusting in God. And he'll never fail you. And he'll never leave you. And he'll never forsake you. And he'll go with you all the way. And he'll hold you in the midnight hour. And he'll dry every tear from your eye. He'll touch your body. Hold on and keep looking up. I tried him for myself. I know he's all right. I tried him for myself. Hallelujah. Keep looking up. Invitation. Christ is extended. Amen. When you talk to somebody who's discouraged this week, tell them, keep looking up, baby. Yeah. Keep on going. Say to them, I've been there. I've been in the storm. I've been sick. I've been worried. And God brought me through. Keep looking up. God will go with you too. Extend the invitation as our ministers, deacons, and greeters come. We invite you to come.
Come on.
Receive Jesus Christ by faith. The only hope in this world is in Jesus Christ.
Right.
If you are viewing us online, go to belonging at ebc3austin.org and share the testimony of your commitment.
We offer Christ to you. Christ. Oh, my brother, we offer Christ to you. Oh, my sister, we will give you brand new life abundantly. Oh,
get a fruit basket as they're shared with you in the foyer.